If you were listening to the show this time yesterday, we had the first select person of Fairfield on. And interestingly enough, she even says it in the interview. If you go back and listen to it, she says, I've been saying the word safe so many times, but that really is our number one priority here in Connecticut, or I should say in Fairfield, is to be safe. And there's a lot that they are doing in the town and have been doing. You know, we talked about starting today. They've rolled out their speed enforcement camera. So it's not to say that Fairfield's not focused on this issue of safety and making residents feel as safe as possible. But interestingly enough, I got a different look at something that doesn't seem safe to me, but seems to be, in some regard, at least being ignored or not prioritized in Fairfield, which doesn't really match up with what the first elect person is saying, which is that safety is the number one priority. And it comes from the Fairfield Firefighters Union. Joining us now to talk more about this is Bill Tuttle, who's the president of the union. And actually, you wrote a letter to the town recently, Bill. First of all, welcome to the show, and thank you for talking to us about this. What was your letter about?
Good morning, Melissa. The letter was addressed to the risk manager. We have, in our operational plan, we have an on-call safety officer. An on-call safety officer is someone, an assistant chief, who is available to come in at a moment's notice, obviously, because we don't know when emergencies are going to happen, and to drop what they're doing and come in to be the safety officer. The safety officer is a position. It's outlined in the incident command system, and it's also outlined in the NFPA, which is the National Fire Protection Organization, which sets the standards for firefighting. So that position is filled, again, on an on-call basis. So someone, one of the assistant chiefs, makes himself or herself available to come straight into work. They have to be close to the fire department. They have to be, you know, their phone needs to be on. They need to be unimpaired. They need to be able to come straight in and go to work. It's vital on fire scenes to have a safety officer. It's one of the critical functions that needs to be filled. We don't have that position filled 24 hours a day by people who are on duty. So that's why we have the callback position. So we have a member who is the person who would be doing that job, is medically cleared to do the job, and the town has refused to allow him to come in to do it. We have had serious gaps in that position filling over the last couple of weeks, and I tried to bring it to the attention of the risk manager.
Okay, so we're talking about a safety officer as part of
Yes.
Fairfield Fire Department. Okay. What exactly does a safety officer do? Like, why are they paramount for like responding to fires, for example? Why do you need them?
So their job, the safety officer's job, is to monitor for hazards, maintain accountability. Accountability is making sure everyone knows where all the firefighters are, right? We're working in different parts of a building. The firefighters working on the inside are very limited in what they can see as to what's going on. So a safety officer is outside monitoring those conditions to let us know on the inside, hey, I see a wall about to collapse. I see the smoke is getting worse, that kind of thing, so that there are eyes and ears on the outside. And what they do is they help the incident commander to maintain safety. They support the incident commander, who's the assistant chief in charge of the fire, by checking all of those safety things. You know, it's simple as making sure people's gear is on properly. There's a number of things that they do that are critical to the safety of everyone on the fire ground.
Okay, and forgive me for dumb questions, Bill, but I'm going to ask them. So
sure.
Is that common for a fire department to have a safety officer?
Yes, it's required.
Oh, it's required.
Yes. So you have to have a safety officer. If that, while that role is unfilled, as you're waiting for people to show up to a fire scene, the incident commander does two roles. He acts as the safety officer until someone can come and take that role from the incident commander.
Wow. Okay. How long has Fairfield had this vacancy, this position not filled?
It gets filled on a daily basis. Normally, we always have coverage. With the lack of being able to use the assistant chief that I mentioned earlier, we've had gaps where that isn't filled. So it's not a space of time. It's individual days. And last week we had a number of days that position went unfilled.
Why does that happen, Bill? Help me to understand this, because obviously I'm not a firefighter, but I so respect and honor what you guys do.
Because there's no one who has the availability to, of all the people who are qualified to do it, they don't have they're either working already, they're out of town, they have other plans. Like, we do that position, that on-call position, without compensation, even though they're dedicating themselves to the town during that time. But if you say you're going to do that, that means you don't have a glass of wine with dinner. You don't turn off your phone when you're at your kid's recital. So and you have to be close enough to town to respond in a timely fashion, right? Like, we don't need a safety officer to show up 2 hours after the fire started. We need them now.
Right. So, okay. So I'm understanding this better. But what is troubling to me is because again, this sounds like almost like the commitment that a volunteer firefighter would make, you know, so it's not, you're not getting paid, but you are committing to, if you want to do X amount of shifts, you're committing to it. Do I have like kind of the basic understanding?
For a night shift, you're committing to, hey, for the next 14 hours,
I'm yours. You got it. Okay.
Right.
So you've got a guy, though, in the wings right now who is qualified to do it, and the town won't hire him?
He's the most qualified to do it, and they won't let him do that job, even though he's been medically cleared for that position.
Are you kidding me?
No. I wish I was. And this is, we've been trying to address this through the grievance process. I did see that, you know, that the first select person had responded to the patch. I sent that letter on Monday, and I have gotten no response whatsoever from the town. The union's position here is that because nothing bad happens doesn't mean something bad isn't going to happen, right? Luck is not a risk management plan.
And that seems to be
what we're doing here. And it's interesting that you said safety is the number one priority. We haven't seen any improvements in safety.
From a fire perspective in Fairfield.
From the fire perspective. What's going on in the town is fantastic, but in this past budget, our chiefs had put into the budget for safety issues, and those things were cut from the budget at the Board of Selectmen's level.
The firefighters got cut from the budget? They got a financial cut?
The total increase was 0.7%, which is in effect a cut, because obviously costs have gone up more than 0.7%. But the chiefs had put in for an additional firefighter on the line and additional deputy fire marshal, which is who inspects our buildings. And we all know how much stuff is going on in town and how many buildings there are. They put in for those. Those were cut at those directly affect both firefighter safety and resident safety. And those were both cut from the budget at the Board of Selectmen.
I don't like to speak out of turn without just proof in the pudding. Like I said, I have been told many times by the current first select person in Fairfield that safety is the number one priority. In fact, it was something we talked about on the diner tour when we did stop number one in Southport Diner. And we were actually discussing some of the safe initiatives that are going on right now in Fairfield. They've got the new speed enforcement cameras that are up and running. Recently, our chief of police, Mike Paris, was actually highlighted on a national scale in Washington, D.C. for some of the safety advocacy work that Fairfield has done, which is incredible, right? But it's interesting. This was the clip. I knew I wasn't crazy. This is the clip from Christine Vitale, who talks about the importance of safety in her town and that it is the number one priority.
We want them to be safe. I keep on saying safe, 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 and that's, you know, public safety. Safety, that's the role of government.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, top our number one priority is to make sure that we keep our residents safe. So,
okay, so this is where I'm, again, I haven't spoken to Christine Vitale about this, but it's being brought to my attention that if that is the case, why is that not happening for firefighters? And I asked that question because I was told by the Fairfield Firefighters Union that a safety officer role has not been filled entirely. So it kind of ebbs and flows. Sometimes they've got somebody, sometimes they don't. That is actually, I mean, could I technically say, Bill, that that's illegal? Because technically you're required to have them. Is it illegal or no?
No, there's not a law. It breaks the recognized standard of care. If something was to happen because you didn't fill the position, there's a chance that you're found guilty of negligence because you're not meeting the standard. The lack of a safety officer is often cited in NIOSH reports. NIOSH is the government agency that investigates firefighter line of duty deaths, and it's one of many things that gets noted on those reports is lack of a safety officer.
So,
it's in our SOPs. It's a position that's filled on our roster that you can see when you pull up a roster. You know, as far as I heard the clip, but I've got a saying I've used in the past is, you know, don't tell me what you believe, show me what you do, and then I'll tell you what you believe. And we just haven't seen that commitment to safety from the town on the fireside since Bill's been out of office.
Okay, so, and you're referring to Bill Gerber. Here's my question, first of all. Have we seen, because this is where I think you're talking about, you know, it's going to be noted, and I would imagine the fire department or even the town would get into trouble, maybe even lawsuits about this. Have we had firefighters get injured responding to events without a safety officer on site?
No, we haven't yet, right? We have injuries at fires all the time. You know, it could be a whole nother show of the lack of investigation that we do into those injuries and prevention. We haven't seen anything like that from the risk management side of the town. But again, going back to what I said before, you know, luck isn't a risk management plan. We put that person there because of what could happen, not what does happen, because we won't know what happens till it does.
And I think to your point, Bill, we shouldn't be reacting. We should be proactive. So,
right.
God forbid we do have a firefighter injury or, God forbid, a death, because we have seen those, unfortunately, even just in recent years in Connecticut, not maybe in Fairfield. But if there's not a safety officer, is that the same thing as an incident commander, by the way?
No, it's not. The incident commander is in charge of safety. A safety officer is part of their staff on a call that would then take over the role of safety. They would report to the incident commander. They also, besides the incident commander, they have the authority to stop any action that they deem unsafe. So they're a second set of eyes on the safety of what's going on, because an incident commander is running the fire. He's dealing with any other things that have to happen because of the fire. He's in charge of getting the Red Cross. He's in charge of, you know, getting the police to shut down streets. That incident safety officer is that incident commander is doing all those things. If he doesn't have a safety officer, he's also on top of the myriad of other things he has. Safety is just one of the other things that he would be doing. So that's why a safety officer is so vital. So one of the you know, going back to saying, well, has anything happened? Well, the analogy that I would use is that I wear my seatbelt every time I drive around in the fire truck. In the last 20 years, I haven't been in an accident in the fire truck. That doesn't mean, well, hey, you don't
I'm
really
not
have to
wear
a seatbelt because you don't get accidents, right?
Like, right.
You wear a seatbelt. No one puts their seatbelt on in the morning assuming they're going to get into an accident. They put their seatbelt on because there's always the chance of an accident.
Well, and here's the thing, Bill. I totally agree with you, especially when you look at what are firefighters facing right now? We have a huge shortage of firefighters. I mean, especially volunteer, but even career firefighters. We are that has been a dwindling number for years now. And in something as simple as, and we're not even going to, we don't have the time, unfortunately, for this segment to go into what has been focused on recently at a state level, which is if they get cancer because of the job, are we covering them enough? Are we, you know, giving any kind of financial stability or backing to them? You know, I think we're starting to focus on that, but we know a huge reason why we're only starting to do it is because we're not seeing firefighters sign up in droves to do the job. So something as simple as, especially if you have someone in the wings. Now, I don't know who this person is, and it would be irresponsible for me to name them or know who they are personally, but there is somebody from a firefighting standpoint. I mean, this guy isn't a criminal, right? I'm wondering why we wouldn't be moving on this quicker. Again, I'm not trying to go down a rabbit hole, but I don't understand if you've got somebody medically cleared to do the job, is qualified to do the job, unless there's somebody who is like a public threat, why in the world would we sit on that?
I couldn't answer that for you, and that's why we were going through the grievance process. But when we started to see these coming up and up, I can't wait for the grievance process to play out. I have a responsibility as the union president to protect the members of the fire department. I have a responsibility as a firefighter and as a citizen of Fairfield to protect the citizens of Fairfield. This is a no cost item, right? I don't agree with it when safety gets cut for monetary reasons, but at least I can look at something and have some sort of understanding of it. This boggles my mind. I can't understand why this continues to go on, and that instead of fixing it, where you're making excuses for not fixing it.
Yeah, I have more questions than I do answer, certainly. And not because of you, Bill, because you've outlined something that is just not matching up for me. So as you can imagine, as you know me, I have people to contact about this. I want to know more. But I so appreciate you, Bill Tuttle, being willing to share this with us here on WICC. And I'm going to dig into this a little bit more for myself, for the firefighters, but certainly for our listeners, because I'm sure they're concerned about it as well. Thank you so much, Bill Tuttle, for what you do. And obviously our firefighters in Fairfield, we appreciate it. And we'll let you know if we find out anything as well. I want to dig into this a little bit.